everybody. Welcome back to Screen Heroes. Is this episode 70?
I don't know. I don't keep track.
I think this is episode 70.
Yes, it is.
I'm excited. That's really cool. We've hit 70.
Yeah.
I don't even know who we are. Who are we? I'm Derek.
We'd be able to retire if our number of episodes was a person.
And two more episodes is syndication, right? Is 72 episodes?
Is that what it is?
I think a syndication.
Nobody's picking us up to see.
No, nobody is ever. But you know, it's fun to think that it would have been possible.
Yeah.
I am Derek. One of the regular hosts of Screen Heroes. I have my two other regular hosts with me, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
And it's just us. It's just us tonight. Today.
It's nice.
Whatever.
I like Peaceful. Every once in a while having a little group family thing as opposed to party time with the Screen Heroes. Yeah. But Amber Elliott killed it last week. She had a lot of
she
fun.
She did, yeah. That was a really fun episode.
Great conversation, too. What could have been a really disastrous episode.
I do have to say, though,
I was ready to go down in a blaze of glory, though.
Yeah,
I was ready to, like...
I want to give Ryan a lot of credit for the creativity that...
Oh, thank you.
I speak good. The creativity that Ryan brought to last week's episode.
I completely agree. I now just want to have you, like, fan cast all my girly fandoms. Like,
oh my gosh.
You're doing My Little Pony next.
I don't know if my brain can handle that. Like, if the studio wants to pay me to do that, then I'm right. not able to handle it, but...
Well, yeah, sure.
Get syndicated.
If a studio pays us to do anything, I think we'd be a little more flexible about what that was.
Well, at least... I need you guys behind me. Don't you want him to finish off the princesses and...
The princesses are going to finish off each other.
That's what I was going to say. That sounds like he's killing off all the Disney princesses.
Well, I mean, that was kind of, you know, the pitch.
Is that what it was?
Well, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I didn't finish the story.
Fair enough. But this week we are not talking about Disney princesses.
Absolutely not. Not even close.
This week we have a completely different topic. This is Ryan's idea for mm-hmm. this topic. And we are going to be talking about the anime One Punch Man.
Yeah.
Not the manga.
Before we dig into it, was there news that happened this week? I feel like
there's always some news.
We could...
Oh, hey guys. We are now on officially day 6 of what I've been calling Wine Watch, which is...
Wine Watch?
When grown white conservative Texans, for the most part, decide that a women's only screening of Wonder Woman is impugning on their rights.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest news this week. I mean, I've seen it all over Facebook.
It made the New York Times.
It won't stop.
So for those that don't know, Alamo Drafthouse posted that they were doing a women-only screening of Wonder Woman. I think they expanded that, actually.
It started...
Originally, it was one.
The Austin location started at first. It was one showing the Tuesday after the opening weekend. It sold out in 15 minutes, so they expanded it to 2. And then the other locations were offered the option. Not all of them have picked it up. Our local one in Kansas City did. And it sold out its 2 showings in 2 days.
Yeah. And then basically the drama is that...
it's sexist.
A bunch of men
and
women are saying that it's sexist and, you know... We're not going to get into the politics of it here.
No,
but...
it seems like a weird thing to get really mad about when, first off, it's a Tuesday night. So it's not like opening night screenings are now made unavailable to half the population. That's
right.
Not true.
None of us are going because it's on a Tuesday night.
We're
going to
be here. Yeah. It's not even opening weekend. It's not even mm-hmm. in the first 5 days, which in the movie world is a number that really matters. It's the first 5 days box office.
Right.
This is not. This would be on day 6. It's the next week's box office at this point.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, middle of the week kind of thing. It seems like an odd thing to get really upset about when, especially Alamo Drafthouse does stuff like Guys Night, and they already do Girls Night, and they already do all these different themed things.
Yeah.
They did say that they are more than happy to include an all-male showing for Thor and an all-clown showing for It.
I
fully embrace that they're supporting various groups.
So whichever side you're on, you know, I'm sure you've already made your opinion known
on
sure Facebook
you have.
Because
Absolutely.
Everybody has.
But yeah. that was a big thing. I will say that so we're recording, of course, on Tuesday if you're not watching us live on Twitch. The initial reviews are coming in for Wonder Woman. And
we gave our review.
We got to see it.
And yeah, we weren't embargoed on our review. We could have done a full spoiler review
a week ago. But we're nice and didn't want to ruin it for anybody. The reason we were not embargoed was because no studios gave us any tickets to go see it.
We earned them on our own.
But real quick, before I just wanted real... This was like our first like big video on YouTube was our spoiler-free review of Wonder Woman.
Yes.
It's had over 6,200 views, which for us is a big deal because our entire channel had about 3,800 before.
Within 6 to 8 hours, we had multiple people hating on us. So that's just...
To be fair, it was mostly on just me. So if you want to add into the hate,
it was much deserved. It's Hero Podcast,
Heroes Podcast Network on YouTube.
Yes, or just go to HeroesPodcast.com.
You can tell me how much white trash I am and everything else. And
people were really mad that I talked about how the movie physically looked, the colors. Which I mean, it's a visual medium, so it seems weird to hate on somebody for mentioning the visual aspects of a visual medium,
right?
I mean, it would be like not talking about the audio quality of a radio show or a CD.
Well, so it's also relevant because in the past several movies, a lot of, not the biggest complaints, but a complaint that people have had is that it looked like there's some sort of sepia filter, or even in Suicide Squad that wasn't Zack Snyder, there was a lack of color. And so, I think that's a relevant
because
point.
That was filmed like mostly at night. And it hadn't been, because all the characters are wearing bright colors and they did the neon splash paint 80s effect for a lot of the intros and things like that. So they tried, but they still filmed most of the movie at night.
So I tried
to lighten up even the indoor scenes.
It was just kind of interesting that this was like our first big video. It was not our first spoiler-free, what we call quick movie take. I think it's our fourth one.
Anytime we get an opportunity to see the film before opening day, we'll go ahead and do one of those. But we're only going to do it for films that we're interested in. So, if we earn passes to The Mummy or Kingsman or Valerian this summer, we'll go ahead and do that. But you're not going to see it for, Rough Night or Baywatch or something.
Well, Baywatch is already out, so.
It was just an example, Derek Mayer.
And it apparently was part of the worst Memorial Day box office since 1998. And there were two big movies this weekend between Baywatch and Pirates of the Caribbean, and nobody cared.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not a big surprise.
So, going back to Wonder Woman just a little bit.
Sure.
I believe it's an important film. It's the first movie in 10 years to feature a female superhero as the lead. But if you don't think that's important, that's cool. I'm not mad at you. Go see it.
What was the movie 10 years ago?
Catwoman and Elektra.
I mean, Catwoman, she's not a superhero.
Kick-Ass had a, she
Hit-Girl
for all
wasn't
intents
the
and purposes.
Character, though.
No, but she was might as well have been. She was definitely the hero of the movie.
It's named after.
You're right.
Kick-Ass.
I mean, that's true.
I was just meaning that I thought you were saying Catwoman, and I wouldn't consider her a superhero. So that's
in that movie, she had powers though. And she
on
the good
really
side.
Good basketball players.
I meant more if she's a bad guy normally. But I also didn't see it, so okay, she's a good guy.
She was really good at basketball. That was her power.
Okay.
Anyway, my point is, see it because you want to. Don't see it if you don't want to. Don't let all the politics get in the way of you having a good time at the movie.
It's so weird because while we haven't really had a lot of female-led superhero stuff, we have had a couple really successful female-led action franchises like Resident Evil and Underworld. And somehow those are okay. People will go spend money to see that, but everybody's really worried about a female superhero lead. What's the difference?
I don't know. In 2014, Frozen was the biggest movie of the year. And it came out in December. It was still the biggest movie of the year. 2015, Maleficent and Lucy broke box office records. Like, it's possible. You go see these films. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. But people saying that they're not going to see Wonder Woman is for two reasons always. And it's, one, it's a woman. And two, it's because DCU sucks so hard. And
Marvel's better. I'm a DC hater also, I found out.
Yeah, right?
Despite the fact that my business, my side business is like 90% mostly DC.
But no, Marvel's paying you, right?
Right, Marvel pays me, yeah.
Yeah.
Marvel pays
you
me.
You wish.
Yeah. I'd have a better haircut.
You have a better podcast, too.
I have a lot of better things if Marvel was paying me.
So, go see. Anyway, yeah.
But if you are curious what our spoiler-free thoughts are, it is on our YouTube channel, so you can check that out. And we're going to talk about it spoiler-filled next week.
Yes.
So
many spoilers.
So many. All the spoilers.
All the
Every
spoilers.
Spoiler. Every single spoiler.
I will give you a spoiler right here and right now. There is no post-credit scene, so don't waste your time.
Unless there wasn't one in the early screenings. It's that possible. Marvel's done that before, but well, seems unlikely.
Warner Brothers and Patty Jenkins have announced that they...
Oh, okay.
It's just DC is, quote, not doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
They did that in the last two movies. And didn't they have that one with Batman meeting up with Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad?
It was like mid-credits. It wasn't...
Even then, it's still...
Was that post-credits?
That wasn't at the end of the movie. That was in the credits, at least.
I'll have to watch it again.
It was the end of the credits.
If it was, that was the only one that did it. So, And I guess maybe they're saying that Suicide Squad is like parallel to like the bigger umbrella stuff.
That's fair.
Like, you know, how like the Netflix Marvel versus the big screen Marvel.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, seems I like forgot about we're that trying scene. To split too many hairs.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about One Punch Man.
Okay, so Ryan, since this was your idea, why don't you let people who don't know who is One Punch Man?
Well, One Punch Man is the anime is the story of a man who is basically so powerful that he's bored with his life and. It's really hard to describe without watching it, but it's the struggles of what it would be like if you had ultimate power and nobody could do anything to even challenge you in the entire universe. Doesn't matter. Nothing is as powerful as you are. The anime itself has a lot of underlying tones that are really interesting. I'm sure we'll talk about. But there's a lot, it's a lot deeper than that, but that's an essential premise is, you know, what with unlimited power, what happens?
And so, like, it's on Earth, but clearly on a continent that doesn't really exist. And there's these gigantic monster creatures, and a lot of them are some fun stereotype bad guys.
Or they're direct, like, you can identify them as from another anime.
Straight rip-offs.
Yeah, that was done on purpose, obviously.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's very tongue-in-cheek. But
well, very satirical of the whole genre, really. Is
both superhero and anime
genre,
so absolutely. American or Western and Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those you know who aren't aware, there is also a manga and a web series. We're only talking about the anime,
but there's
intend to read the manga at some point. But you know, with my track record with comic books and things like that, it's probably not going to happen for a while.
But you can.
I'll add it to my stack.
Exactly.
You can dig deeper. The webcomic came out in 2009, and it has over 100 chapters. So you want to tie yourself down for a long project? That
do like one a week in 2 years.
There's worse
from
things
now
you could do with your life.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be talking about that. So if you have not seen the One Punch Man anime, which is available on Netflix, and I think Hulu too.
They are doing, a Blu-ray release here soon in the next couple months. Yeah, and season 2 is also supposed to come out soon.
We are going to have spoilers.
Yeah.
So spoilers. At this point, so if you don't want to know stuff that's going to happen in it, you can always come back to this one later when you get a chance to watch it. And since it's on Netflix and Hulu, it's very accessible. As right now it may have just been that I was using a tablet app, but Netflix would not allow me to do any dubbing. It was subtitles only for English, and I don't speak Japanese, so that's my preferred method of watching foreign stuff anyway, is with the subtitles. I like using the original voices, but just for anyone who's wondering.
So. And when it released on Netflix, there was dubbing, but
yeah. So I don't know if it was just because of the tablet app I was using, or if that's changed. So, for example, Scrubs is no longer on Netflix.
Oh, bummer!
It bums me out a little bit, actually. So, all right. So we are going to get started here. We do have a few people in chat. Dogsthorpe is back. We haven't seen him in a while.
He's a mega One Punch Man fan. So
he is an S-class super fan. And for those who don't know that...
Did he write that?
He did.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. The heroes are put into different classes, C, B, A, and S. S being the top level, most Super awesome, I assume that stands for.
I'm sure that's what it is. They should have just had an S on their chest for everybody that was an S class.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way.
That hasn't been done yet.
It's a good way to get sued.
Pretty much. It's a symbol for hope in this universe, Derek.
Right,
obviously.
Hope, yeah.
So it's not a copyright.
My mistake. So, all right, so where should we get started?
I mean, I would say, I haven't really talked about your overall impressions of the show.
No, we haven't. So. Mainly because I finished it today.
Yeah.
It was a show that I had always planned to watch, but hadn't gotten around to it. So I managed to knock it out in a couple of days here. So the last two thirds of the season are so much better than the first third. The first third almost lost me. Cause the first couple of episodes are very, very episodic, where there's, you know, some big giant monster shows up to attack the city and One Punch Man beats it in one punch. And like, that's funny. Once, maybe yeah. twice, and they kind of kept going that way. But then it becomes very serialized, and there's this overarching story, and you get to know these other characters, and they expand on the Heroes Association and all of that, and you know, then aliens attack, and so that was all really cool. So by the end of it, I want more. I want to know what happens next, because they left a lot of threads
absolutely
just hanging at the end, and for me to care is obviously a good sign.
Yeah.
So I want to know what happens.
So you enjoyed
next.
It?
Yes. Yes.
Rachel?
I'm not quite sure it's for me. It's not the subject matter. That's actually incredibly interesting. I do like very similar things like Power Rangers and superhero stuff.
I actually have a theory as to why you don't like it, but I'll get into
it. Ooh. That's fair. Ooh. It's totally fair.
Not, it's not a per, like, I'm not going to attack her personally.
I maintain that it's probably because of the subtitles. I don't do those very well. Not the biggest fan of them. For a TV show, I like to have eight other things going on if I'm going to sit down and binge watch something. So I would have preferred the dubbed version. But yeah. I'm not the biggest anime fan. And it has nothing...
None of us are, I think, to be fair.
Right.
None of us are really deep into anime.
Not deep. No. I've always liked the style, so I've always wanted to get more into anime. I feel like there's a bit of a bar to kind of break into it, and I just haven't had the time to put that effort in.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I love cartoons, and I grew up with stuff that was very anime in style, like Voltron, for example, that, you know, I guess Voltron kind of was an anime.
Yeah.
It was.
It was absolutely anime, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the styles haven't changed a whole lot since then from an anime perspective. So obviously there's, you know, better graphics now, but
obviously this is my podcast idea. So I loved it. I thought it reminded me very much of like the He-Man cartoons and stuff in the 80s, where you had
similar,
like the named villains and like, you know, these ridiculous moves and stuff like that, and all the named heroes and everything like that. So yeah, that was, and how ridiculous the animation was and things like that. It all very much reminded me of the stuff that I used to watch as a kid. So yeah.
And that part was a lot of fun to watch. It truly was.
Visually, like, it's by far the best visuals of an anime that I've seen. Like,
it's a
couple
beautiful
others,
show.
Yeah.
I really like that.
And the different artists, like, doing different things, but in the same fight, like, it was really cool.
It threw me off at first, because like, it's mainly, like, and don't get me wrong, they do it with a lot of the characters, but specifically with is it Satami? Is that how you say his name? Saitama.
You can call him One Punch Man if that's easier.
He changes very, very often, right? And it's basically just depends on what his mood is, right? He has a different anime style for each like mood that he has, and it took me a minute to kind of settle into that and get used to it, because I'm more used to westernized animation where the characters look exactly the same forever.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. You know, look at The Simpsons or Family Guy or Futurama. They never change.
Their clothes never change. Their, like, facial expressions never change. It's very cut and paste.
So for this character to be different shot to shot because of his mood changing and the style's totally different, it took me a couple of episodes to get used to it, but by the end of it, I loved it.
Yeah.
So
I feel like my opinion on that whole thing is that it was more of a but in itself was a satire of other anime, because you get all these other characters in other animes that are just like, you know, super into everything and just, you know, very intense all the time. And he's just kind of like this dumpy looking, I mean, he's not dumpy because you see him with his shirt off and he's like super cut, but in the costume, he looks super dumpy and like...
Well, that's kind of the joke going through as one thread through all of it, is that he's like this totally aloof, not super motivated guy who also at the same time is the most powerful fighter on the planet.
Yeah. Right. And probably the universe. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so it is really funny how like he's fighting somebody and what he is most upset about is that like he was too late to get the food that he wanted.
Right. Yeah. He couldn't get to the sale at the market.
Right.
Yeah. That was so good.
That was like, you know, his whole city's being destroyed, but that was just heartbreaking.
Right.
You know?
That's the thing he loves is to get his deals at the market. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were certain fights, and I guess we can get into something. So the show starts off, the very first episode of the show, you get to see him fight Vaccine Man, who's he's a ripoff some other show that I'm not familiar with.
He looked like he was straight out of Dragon Ball Z.
I there was Boros was actually like straight out of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, he looked that style as well.
But he might have been. Yeah, exactly. You could see him on the end.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Vaccine Man, who is telling his huge epic backstory about how all the humans in the world are destroying the planet and Mother Nature sent him. How dare this hero for fun even show up to this fight? And in the middle of his monologuing, one punch and he's done.
I absolutely love when TV shows do the big monologues from either the hero or the villain. And
well, it's there's really sad you didn't love the show then, because there's so much of
it. I know. But there's always such a twist on it nowadays, and it cracks me up so much, you know?
Yeah.
I think really when Incredibles called out Syndrome for doing it, and like, oh, look at you, you got me monologuing.
Right. Right.
Ever since then, TV shows have picked up like, well, that's just stupid. Like, why do we let these characters do that in the middle of a fight?
Yeah.
I think what really caught my interest was that not only do these characters monologue all the time,
yeah,
good and bad, but they also monologue about the most mundane things on the planet.
Yeah.
They're not even monologuing about their grand plans. They're monologuing about like just the simplest stuff, and like, you know, how they do this one particular move. Or at the end, with Boros, he's talking about how like he doesn't normally like charge up this much because it's like anaerobic and it's bad. And
right. He loses so much detail. It's like okay. What? Yeah, it's very weird.
When they're fighting on this giant city-sized spaceship.
Well, what's funny is that Saitama actually like touches on that too. And I think in like the second or third episode, whenever Genos shows up to his apartment or whatever, and he's like going on about his backstory, and right, he shows him like getting progressively like more irritated. And he's like, 20 words or less! Or,
20
you know,
words, right.
And so, yeah, he kind of makes fun of that whole thing. And that's referenced several times throughout the show too. But yeah, that... it's another thing, you know, another part of the satire, like, of the genre.
Saitama's entire attitude through the whole thing is he's just annoyed with the world.
Right.
He's frustrated with everybody else. I feel like he would just be much happier if he could sit at his house and just read all the time and not have to deal with anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But he likes
being a hero if he can be challenged.
Yes.
If he can be challenged, right. And that's the real key is the fight with Boros at the end, I think... that he liked.
Yeah.
That was worth it for him. But
yeah,
every other fight was just a giant waste of his time.
Right.
You know?
Go ahead.
I was gonna when he and Genos were fighting each other, you know, because Genos was put up as a class S.
Right off the bat.
You know, right off the bat. He's a cyborg, incredibly powerful. And they're sparring, and, you know, Saitama's just like, meh, you know, he's dodging, kind of.
Yeah, Genos is like taking it super seriously, and Saitama's just like, let's go get some dumplings.
Yeah,
you know?
it's like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Well, it's because Genos studied, and he passed his test.
He did.
Yeah.
Saitama didn't. He doesn't care.
So, also in the first episode, you get one of my favorite monsters from the whole series, which is Krablonte. The great Krablonte.
I would like that.
That guy, that totally reminded me of He-Man, because that guy, there's actually a guy in He-Man that looks very similar.
Oh, he's definitely like...
But he's just got a dude with normal legs and like tidy whities. And then he's like a crab, because he ate too much crab is his backstory.
Yeah.
Well, I loved his explanation, because they always have to explain who they are, right?
And
he's like, and I just ate a lot of crab, and then all of a sudden, I'm Crab Man. All right.
But then you also get a little bit of backstory for Saitama, who, you know, he was a guy that is like us, you know, basically just wandering around kind of depressed with how life is and, you know, going to a job or trying to get a job, you know, things like that, and then gets put into this ridiculous situation and is able to come out on top. And realize that, you know, he wanted to be a hero. You literally get to see the fire light in his eyes. And
which was pretty interesting. And, I mean, I think what really caught me initially was how ridiculous the villains are, yeah. right? Because they're all basically stereotypes of some cartoon villain at one point or another. And they know it. It's almost like they all know that that's what they are. Because they all say those really stereotypical things and do the stereotypical yeah. moves and all of that type of stuff. And I liked that the main character is essentially the exact opposite of all of that.
Yeah.
You know, he's not flashy. He doesn't want to talk about who he is.
His costume is stupid
you know?
Looking.
You yeah. know? Just, he doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to, you to know who he is. He just wants to fight and hope that it takes more than one punch
right.
before it's over.
Well, in that fight, it did take more than one punch. He had to do like some dip move and like rip the guy's eyes yes. out. And then in a ridiculous Army of Darkness style fashion, everything starts shooting out through his eye socket. And dousing everything around.
That's when I was like, oh, this is why Ryan likes the show.
right? I'm sure right then you were like, okay, I get it. I get it.
See, I just looked at that and I was like, I need butter.
Like, right? Well, and what's funny delicious. Is the transition from that scene is you see the reflection of crab meat in Saitama's bald head
yeah.
while he's at the supermarket in his full hero getup. So, yeah, I mean, he obviously was reminded too. So.
No, I started watching the show on an airplane. So when that scene happened, I actually laughed out loud on an airplane, which I don't like doing.
Which, but... when it switched to him in the supermarket? Market or just like the ridiculous
that is one of my daily goals is to make you laugh out loud when I know you're sitting at work with your headphones on in a quiet workplace.
But no, it was when the Ash moment essentially yeah. you know the
yeah, it was great
moment. It was great
yeah. And a little fact for you from the first episode, I don't know how much you've looked into it, but the kid with the ball the testicle chin if you pay attention later in the series, the guy that formed the Heroes Association has that same chin. So
yeah,
it's kind of implied that it's his dad.
It's his grandpa.
Or grandpa. Yeah, yeah. Sure, there you go. It's, or it's like his
family member.
I
did not make that connection.
Yeah.
Too much time had passed, I think.
So I think
it's
that
his grandpa who forms the Heroes Association.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just a little...
Now, the timeline works out really well because the Heroes Association is about as old as Saitama was when he decided to start
right,
training.
When he still had his hair.
Yeah, so... that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And so also Jordan brought up in chat that the steroid brother from episode one is from Attack on Titan. And yeah, it's an obvious, correlation there and pretty funny because he's, you know, talking about how he's the most strongest man and you get like all this backstory for this character who's defeated like in 2 seconds.
yeah.
You know, it's...
Well, not only is he defeated... But Saitama convinces him to kill his brother.
Yeah.
Like...
Smash his brother on the shoulder because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Like he might be the strongest man in the world, but he's an idiot. You know, the
it's
so he takes
Titan.
Out both of them.
Yeah.
We almost got more background for characters that died in the episode they were introduced in than the ones that made it all season.
Right.
Or multiple episodes. You know, because they're still...
Well, there's 700 characters.
Right. It's like He-Man. They have, you know, if they have to have the toy line that has every character. yeah.
I mean, but it's really for most of the show, it's Saitama and Genos,
right?
And whatever the bad guys are at that point in time. But it's really towards the end, the last maybe 4 episodes,
where you see people come in and stay in, and they don't get rotated out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they start bringing in all these other heroes. And I mean, was it just me or like other than a couple of them, most of the heroes are just jerks?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine how that would be in real life. Like, if you're the S-class hero,
yeah.
then you're obviously at the top of the game. Everybody looks up to you, you know.
So,
I would probably get a little bit of a complex, too.
I looked up the Wikipedia to fill in some gaps in my knowledge and stuff like that. And it's funny because in the descriptions for a lot of heroes, it's like, idiotic, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Arrogant, blah, blah. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right.
Well, because, like, you had the guy who's the actor, who was the top...
My Mask or whatever his name
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, he's he's Class A, rank 1.
Yeah.
And he was
Handsomely
there.
Masked Sweet Mask is what it says on my piece of paper.
He
so.
Was specifically there just so he could stop people
from
getting to
Class
A.
People that didn't deserve to be there.
Well, that he felt didn't
right.
deserve to be there. That's
right.
the key, right? That's the real trick, is he felt that he understood and knew what was best.
And the way you rank is in popularity.
Well, there's 2 scales. There's the popularity kind of like social ranking, but then
like a social media for heroes
basically
right.
yeah, but then there's also like a legit association ranking based off of like your abilities, what you've done recently
yeah.
yeah,
and if you don't fight so many people in a certain amount of time you like lose
that's
your...
only if you're C-class
yeah.
okay.
if you go up to yeah. B-class then you don't lose your ranking
right.
that's nice
yeah. But apparently in Class C though if you don't do anything in a week you just get kicked out.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I can remember
which I felt like, well considering like, because I think Saitama starts at like ranked 252, yeah. I think.
He's like way right? down there.
So like that's a lot of people.
There's only 550 heroes, so like he's in the last class.
Bottom half of yeah. the last class.
Yeah, I literally have two heroes on my list for Class C because those are the only ones that were relevant at all in the series. So
that makes sense.
I mean, I don't know. There were a few when Docra was pointing out the Sea King in chat, when they were fighting all of the sea creatures, there were a lot. There were a couple Class Cs.
No, when they were fighting the sea creatures, there were two Class A's, Stinger and then the guy with the rocket boots. But then when the Deep Sea King came out, there was some like C class heroes and an A class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Snack. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, when there were
Snack.
Yeah, yes, yes. No, that was I'm talking later when they were in the
Yeah, that was Snack and like a couple other the dude with like the boxing gloves or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but when they were fighting, when the deep sea creatures came out, it was Stinger, the guy with like the bamboo shoot right. with the
shell. He did pretty well.
That was pretty, he was a cool character. Like, yeah. That's the thing about the heroes is most of them were really cool, and the ones that weren't really cool were hilarious. So, I mean, it worked out. You know?
And if you weren't one of those two things, you weren't around very long.
No, you pretty much got killed off or just disappeared. Yeah.
I will say that I did think it was a little odd that there was only one female hero.
It is on, yes. But there's more in the manga.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm sure there has to
But be. I also think that that's like because how many female characters were there in comic books for a long time, like in superheroes for a long time, there wasn't really that many female heroes. So I feel like
it's necessarily internalized misogyny or anything like that. I think it's a reflection of the comic book world and it's more of the satire because there are like twice as many characters in the manga and the very little bit of information about season two is that more females will be introduced.
And it's also worth noting that the only really female hero that you see the whole time is S-Class number two. So
yeah,
she's,
yeah, she is way up there.
And you never see S-Class number one, so I mean,
exactly.
Aside it could from be a some girl, of the like minions not, and some but, of the bigger armies, but only Mosquito Girl is the female villain.
She was cool.
Yeah, she was awesome. Yeah.
I thought she was going to come back at some point, maybe, because
drawing power from blood is always cool. And this is totally weird, but I love that most of the time women get that power. It's just
well, and she was like over sexualized, like just right. so ridiculous because that's what animes and sure. like and superhero yeah, stuff do. Yeah, like. Everything got bigger when she like, was drinking the blood, and, you know. But again, that was great. And
it was
those...
really. I thought it was a unique idea. Like, there's one thing to be like a vampire type creature, right? But when she has the mosquitoes get the blood for her and then bring it back for her,
that's
cool. really neat. I'm not sure anybody else has done that before.
You're probably. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't.
I thought it was cool. I don't know. It is cool. I thought that was
I can
really
only
neat.
Name two other characters that have like blood related powers that I know of, and I don't even remember their names because usually they get canceled. And you well, know,
I think you said you didn't really love the first couple, two or three episodes, but they. I think those were important in, first of all, showing that Saitama is super bored with his life because you were kind of. I mean, in those shows. It's called One Punch Man. The whole show almost with that Mosquito Girl, you're seeing Genos get his butt whooped. And he's a super powerful cyborg created for battle and everything like that. And, you know, he was getting ready to self-destruct and kill himself to save everybody. And then Saitama shows up naked and punches him. punches her and she's dead. So, you see him get his arm chopped off and get, like, his sides ripped out and, like, all this other stuff. So I think a lot of that was done to establish Saitama's power level. Mm-hmm. And, like, so you know that even this crazy cyborg can't beat this book. This guy can beat him one punch.
Especially, you know, when they do get put in their classes and Genos is Class S.
Yeah.
And Saitama is C.
Bottom Which is weird. You would think that having the physical, like, because they said that he blew the, kill all the records for the physical tests, you know, that you would think that would be more important than a written test for
As heroes. Someone well, who has to do written tests and practicals for certifications, you'd think so.
You'd think so.
But they don't care about the written.
And that's probably done, you know, that's probably done on purpose.
I think, though, in this case, it's almost like an aptitude test. And you don't, the idea was that the C-class people are the ones who are going after the purse snatchers, right?
Right.
The low-level people.
The street
and
level thugs.
You don't want somebody who's not intelligent or fair-minded doing the big stuff where right. people are going to die. I think it's kind of the idea. Now, yeah. obviously...
Maybe like decision-making.
Says yeah, the man like who now, actually enjoys taking tests and enjoys putting tests
well,
together.
Well, he could probably apparently be an S-class hero just for being really good at taking tests. So,
however, to be my own to do my own devil's advocate here, the yeah, S-class like heroes, that. Other than Silverfang, were all kind of like not
jerks.
Real great people. So I'm not yeah. sure how well they did on the test either.
It's probably they started out really well and then they've been that way for a couple years and yeah. you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
So the show does pick up when you get to the Heroes Association. Genos is getting all this fan mail and everything, and Saitama just gets like a letter saying, "We know you're a fake," and leeching off the other heroes, stop or something like that.
I just felt so bad. He did get the one thanks,
yeah,
from the
but
human rider.
Another hero,
yeah. human rider.
Yeah,
yeah,
the rider.
I love that guy.
I actually thought early on that he was going to be a bit of an, not a villain, but an antagonist to Saitama because he was getting the fame.
Right.
But you know, they didn't go that route, obviously.
So we got, shortly after the Heroes Association is introduced, you get to meet the Deep Sea King, which, I'm just going to say it, my favorite hero, or my favorite villain in the whole series. Yeah. He was hilarious to watch. He was very powerful.
Yeah.
You know, just really, really good villain.
I loved that they brought Rain into the mix and that like powered him up.
Rehydrated him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I love that. That was really cool.
That's incredibly clever.
I thought it was pretty neat, yeah. right? Because like, you know, they're fighting and it's not, you know, it's pretty even, you know, back where it was the ninja kid.
Speedo Sonic.
That's
Sonic
it. So, yeah, the really redundant one that I can't remember.
First, it who was it first?
Well, that's where the power up with the Rain happens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is with Sonic.
Well, with Piri Piri Prisoner, but it really starts kicking in when you get to... Well, I mean, that's when it starts raining, I thought. Maybe you're right.
Maybe I've got it flipped in my head.
Yeah. I mean, well, that ninja, Speedo Sonic, or whatever it is, ridiculous redundant name is. I mean, you definitely see it then, because when he's like, he's faster, you know, and things
yeah.
like that. But of course, he's a deep sea king. He's like a sponge when, you know, he gets more powerful when it's raining and he's wet. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I agree that was clever.
And it went on for a really long time. A lot of heroes were involved. A lot of scenes were involved. And so he definitely required the most attention.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, he defeated several heroes. I mean, C-class, A-class, you know. And then you get into the big-time, like, superhero trope part of that, which is where Moomin Rider, however you say his name, he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a C-class hero. He's the top of C-class, right? So he is not powerful at all. Genos just got destroyed.
Destroyed.
He was an S-class. And, you know, you get Moomin Rider, who gets knocked away instantly, right? And then he shows up and he's like going on this big monologue about how it's not about winning or losing, it's about me fighting you right now. And then you get the little kid watching and he's going, "Moomin Rider, you're the cyclist for justice, you can do it!" And then the people are like, yeah, cheering, watching.
Hey, no, you choked up. You know you choked up.
I mean, in that scene, it was very much like Spider-Man 2, and
yes.
he's like holding the train, and it's like everybody's cheering him on.
Yeah.
Except that it didn't do anything.
Spider-Man 1, where like Mary Jane's hanging from the crane,
right.
and they're throwing stuff at Green Goblin. Like, you mess with Spider-Man, you mess with New
yeah.
York. Like,
well, in this case, it didn't do anything because he got instantly picked up by his arm and slammed up and down like this and thrown in the air.
For me, it was very much Rocky IV. If it had actually happened.
Right.
Because, you know, the 5'10 Rocky is not going to go up against the 6'4 guy. Like, it's not happening, right? That's
right.
what it felt like to me. He just swats him away, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then, but I did kind of like that when Saitama catches him, he's like, "You did good. That was a good fight." Moomin Rider, he's just a dude. Like,
yeah.
he's the bicyclist for justice.
He
literally rides a bike.
Yeah, he has no powers.
No.
None. Everybody else seems to have powers of some kind.
Yeah.
Right? Some ability or something, some enhancement. He had nothing.
He literally just wants to be a hero and does everything he can.
And, to be fair, he was successful because he stalled
yeah.
long enough for Saitama to show up.
Yeah.
So,
and at one point Saitama was riding on on the back of the bike on the banks. Yeah, and this Venus Sonic guy runs by naked. He's like, "Did you just see a naked guy run by?"
So weird.
Yeah. This is such a ridiculous thing. And that's another theme in the whole show, is there's a lot, and this is why I'm surprised you didn't get into it, because there's so much beefy male nudity.
Oh my god.
Are you okay?
She loved it so much she slammed her head.
Just hit her head.
So ridiculous.
No, like, basically everybody's Zangief.
Yeah, essentially. They all have to get naked at some point, you know, and there's a joke about that with Puri Puri Prisoner.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I just chase all the good-looking men, but he's an S-class hero, and he, yeah. like, when he's fighting Deep Sea King, he does his angel style, which is basically him, like, ripping all his clothes off, and he's completely naked, but they just have a strategic shadow.
Yeah.
But he has where muscles where his no leg one is. Up
somewhere specific. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. his muscles where there's no muscles on a human. And Sonic Speedo Sonic or whatever his name is like, this is disgusting. I can't watch this.
This is definitely one of the shows where muscles build their own muscles.
Yeah.
Right?
And well, that's his power, yeah. apparently, is that he can just get beefier and beefier. And he gets so mad when Deep Sea King, and he goes into his angel form, and it rips the sweater that his boyfriend knit for him. And he gets so mad.
So mad.
And
so
mad that he beat up the other boys that he has eye on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's characters like that are so ridiculous. And there's actually a scene when he does, I think, his Dark Angel style, where it's a complete, I think, God, not Rainbow Bright, it might be Sailor Moon. It's like where he goes into like rainbow colors when he's doing his transformation. Yeah. It's completely like, you know, going off that. It was
but
great.
Then, yeah, everybody has their you know, their sayings or taglines. Yeah. So at the end, right, they're... The ship is crashing. They're running to try and get away from him. He keeps saying, Angel Dash, Angel Dash. And the guy behind him was like, don't stop saying it. Just do it.
That was so funny. That was so funny. Yeah. That was great. And that's a reference to a lot of other shows where they do that. You know, even
where
Street
they
Fighter.
Say their they power say their out stuff. Loud. Yeah.
Hadouken, you know, they do all that stuff. Yeah.
Because if you don't say it, it's not going to work.
Right.
So you got to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean.
Which makes Saitama even a little bit better because, like, sometimes he does say stuff once in a blue moon.
Right.
Right? But rarely. Most of the time, he's just moving around.
Yeah, he says, like, consecutive normal punches or something. It's like, okay, we get it. You don't really care. This is easy for you, you know?
Yeah.
So eventually, you know, you see a few more fights. I think Deep Sea King was one of the big ones in there. There may have been some other ones in there that you liked that stood out to you. Boros was obviously the
big... Boros was really cool. I thought that was a lot of fun. So I liked the underground creatures in the dream.
Yes, well, that was a great fight just in general because, I mean, it shows what he would fight like if he cared and had any challenge,
right.
you know? But obviously he doesn't.
And that was a really cool scene. I thought those were really cool bad guys. So when it turned out to be a dream, I was a little bummed.
Yeah, so but like, it makes sense because it's like, this is what that guy would dream about. He wants a fight. That's all he wants in life. You know, that and the sale at the supermarket. That's it.
His face when Genos wants to move in is one of the best scenes, I think, in the whole season.
Yeah.
Because
he's so upset.
He's so upset. Because Genos is like, all right, I'm going to be back later. Okay. See ya. You know, like, no big deal. And then he shows up with this giant bag. He's like, can I move in? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and Genos is the traditional stereotype of, you know, a guy with a tragic backstory showing up waiting for somebody to teach him, and, you know, so that's a trope in itself.
And I liked how they flipped it, because the guy who, you know, he's the machine with all of the power and all of the test scores.
Looking
and
at him, he should be the one that's teaching
right?
him.
He gets the S-class, and he's the disciple for...
And he knows that Saitama is this powerful guy, and everybody else is like, what's this guy doing here?
Nobody else gets it.
No.
I like that. That was cool.
I mean, the Hero Association started to get it after the Deep Sea King fight, but...
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the next big, like, three episodes, I think, were Boros, towards the end.
Yes.
Who is this alien that's based off of a Dragon Ball Z character of some kind. And he shows up in a giant ship, and they're basically have enough power. Right before this, there's a prophecy from I can't remember what the woman's name is. There's something like simple.
She's in one scene. I can't remember.
Yeah, but she basically predicts that there's going to be this huge thing that could destroy the Earth.
And then
soon.
She dies from a cough drop.
Yeah, she has a tragic end.
That whole explanation is an example of how they just go on and on about the most mundane stuff. Right? Well, she started coughing and then she wouldn't really stop coughing, so we gave her a cough drop and the cough drop didn't really work. And then
she choked on it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And there are all these S-class heroes that are like, why are we
here? There's like they page all the S-class heroes in, and like most of them show up.
Most of them.
And that's your first introduction to a lot of the heroes. Metal Bat, Atomic Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
The
guy that eats all the time.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't... Metal Knight you got to see before that. Child Emperor, I think that was the first time you got to see him. Mm-hmm. Silver Fang you had seen earlier in the season with the meteor.
Yep.
was that Pig God, the guy that eats all the time? I think that's what it was.
Yes, that was him.
Yeah, but there's empty seats, and they go through, and they tell you this is rank one, and it's Blast, and he's not here. They have like a little thing on the screen that says that. So you don't really ever get to see all the S-Class heroes, not even number one. But you do meet Tatsumaki, who's number two. And there's a that fun little exchange between Genos and Saitama and her about how she's just an annoying little girl and needs to leave them alone or something. And
she got really annoyed because they wouldn't listen to her. They were they weren't scared of her, you know.
Whereas everybody else in the world is she's very well known. And
well, I mean, she does have intense psychic abilities. She like she brought a meteor in to crush something. I would feel like her and Saitama battling could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, you know, I thought the same thing, and it still might, but then when Saitama gets onto Boros' ship and runs into the most powerful psychic in the universe, Goryugenshoop, and throws a rock through its head while he's monologuing.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, we should be caught monologuing.
Yeah, I mean, everybody else is, so I don't know why not. She's a bad guy.
Well, cause she talks less than most of the other characters until you ignore her, and then she gets really mad and doesn't stop.
Yeah, you never really see how Saitama would deal with, like, a psychic attack, so it's possible that, like, his bald head is protecting him from that or something.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, the bald head is a joke throughout the whole series, and it's something that he's very sensitive about, it seems like.
He has, like, a special thick skull like the other guy.
I mean, who knows? The workout he does, maybe it thickens his skull, but...
All right, so I do want to talk about the workout a little bit, because so he finally is revealing his secret in the House of Evolution, and everybody stops. You know, there's a couple of bad guys, Genos is there, he's like, all right, fine, I'll tell you guys what I do. And it gets real intense, and it's like really ramped up energy, and he says all this like totally...
100 sit-ups! 100 push-ups! 100 squats or lunges or something. Yeah. A 10-kilometer run every day! Do it, do all the pain!
And then like, that's it!
Yeah.
And Genos is like, wait, what?
And Genos at the time has like this big afro because he got blasted or something. Right. Yeah, he's... Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
He's like, that's just normal strength.
Yeah, that's just like working out. It's like working out. What else? I mean, there's theories, and we can get into that later.
I cracked up on that.
There's theories about where his power actually comes from.
Well, why don't you get into that? Like right now, we're cutting it
close. Oh, wow,
So one of the theories online is that he was able to break his limiter as a human, like... He realized when he was talking about how you do all these exercises, no matter how much it hurts, you do this number every day. Mm-hmm. They think that he broke his limiter that would keep him from like reaching maximum potential or whatever. So he's basically has no limit to his power and is untouchable. That's the biggest theory out there for why he has his power. Yeah.
And I mean, at the end, when he does defeat Boros, Boros knows that he's still held back.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's pretty obvious. So... I mean, the viewer knows that too. He does consecutive normal punches, and that obviously tears Boros up. You know, he doesn't beat him, but then when he's like, I'm gonna do my finishing move serious punch, and it's like, okay, so he's taking it a little seriously,
but bald heads have special abilities, which is why that Doc Rev says that in chat, which is why I'm working on mine.
There you go.
Yeah,
see, you just gotta start doing the 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 crunches.
I'm doing them all right now at the same time.
Very nice. Yeah.
I'm not even out of breath.
Okay. So I want to touch on my theory about why maybe you didn't like it.
It's something
as simple as the subtitles. But the way that the show is written basically goes against every rule that you learn when you're learning. And I know you have written in your past and enjoyed writing.
Yeah.
Basically, any rule that you learn in writing, this show went against it. You have to have conflict to make a story interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Generally.
There's no conflict in this because basically everything is him punching somebody and them dying.
No, the conflict is an inner struggle. Like, that's not...
It's presented as a more physical... His inner struggle is not really an inner struggle, though. It's just like him being bored because, I mean, he wants something, but it's not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, his whole...
That's not like Batman or Spider-Man's inner struggle. Like,
well, it's much...
It's more like his conflict is just he wants somebody he can punch more than once.
Yeah.
That's his... Right. That's his
but in 13 episodes, everything that leads up to the fights, the main fights in the episode... Make it look like this is it, and this is the climax, and that's never the climax because it's ridiculous. The guy gets blown up in one punch, and then there's Saitama is going to cook the noodles later of the pieces of that monster in his soup, and that's I don't know, maybe there's some other things in there that go way against the writing or way against the writing rules that you're taught to make an interesting story.
I mean, I love satire, and so I think that's why I really got into it, because that's most of what the show is, yeah, is satire. But there's a lot of really unique stuff about it. I liked how they kind of had a post-credit scene on every episode, yeah, and they brought back somebody who...
Yeah, the voice actors would come back and, yeah, like, yeah, and do something.
And yeah, they'd all have their little spiel. It was all in character and, yeah, everything, and it was kind of cool because these are only 22-minute episodes,
yeah,
and some of these characters are only in the one episode because they got blown up, you know? And
like the headlight guy, the guy that's like a car.
In only that was one. Cool.
I love that guy. He's like, I'm going to put a spit shine on that headlight, and he's gone, you, yeah, know? He, at least he got his line though, right?
Right.
Sorry, you were talking.
No, I like that, Doug. I felt like they were able to really capture the essence of these characters that had, you know, 6 minutes of screen time,
yeah,
in the whole season, so... I like that, and I got through the first season. It's only, I think on Netflix it was only 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, 12 episodes, you're talking not even 6 hours of content because they're only 22 and change a piece.
Right.
But it was really fun and it was really good, and it left me only wanting more. When it ended, I was like, maybe there is a 13th episode. There's more, right? And, you know, there isn't, of course. And
there are some other episodes out there that they did an OPM or whatever. Not OPM. There's something else that's like, it had some extra episodes of his like backstory. You get to see more. I think it'll release when the Blu-ray releases in America. They'll have those on there. But I was able to find one online, and it was talking about, it was a story of him and like the guy that made his suit for him, and like how that whole process went down. And it was pretty interesting. And how he got his apartment.
Yeah, the apartment was kind of funny.
Yeah.
You find out that he's like living in this completely abandoned, yeah, part of the city.
City Z or something like that, that's, yeah, been destroyed by monsters and is quarantined
multiple
off
times.
Because that's where the monsters always show up, it seems like.
But nobody knows what happens to him because he's not registered.
Who was your favorite hero in the show?
My favorite hero.
Yeah.
That's really,
you can even
tough.
Go deep. Like, you can go Tank Top Tiger if you want.
No, definitely not the Tank Top Brothers.
No, it's not even just the brothers. In the manga, there's a whole family. There's, yes, there's a woman tank in the Tank Top, yes, group, and it's great. There's a vegan.
I think I really like Tornado. I thought she was really interesting, yeah, because...
Terrible Tornado.
Because, yeah, she was obviously incredibly powerful, but they never would really let her do what she wanted to do. So she's ranked number 2 in S class, and they're constantly like, all right, actually, you know what? We changed our minds. Come back.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I'm like, what if she were allowed to just do whatever?
Well, I mean, you get to see what she can do a little bit in the Boros fight. You know, she's picking things, yeah, up with her mind.
Well, and she does send the meteor down the crash on, yeah, the dinosaur, the Godzilla guy.
Right.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought she was pretty cool. Visually, she was pretty interesting compared to some of the
other ones. A lot
of
people cosplay her. That's a pretty popular, yeah, costume.
So, I mean, that was cool. I would like to know more about Silver Fang.
Silver Fang is towards the top of my list, too.
He's
so great. Like, when he gets bashed in the Boros fight into the concrete wall, and he comes out, and he's, like, a super ripped. He's like, I need to do more full body workouts. But he's, like,
he's like totally
ridiculous.
Jacked.
He's, like, an old man with, like, this huge, muscly body. Mm-hmm. It's like the old Bowflex commercials. Like, the 60-year-old
What is with you and, like, ripped old dudes? Like,
I don't know.
This guy, you love Soldier. Like,
that's true. So Silver Fang,
he was a little bit like Soldier 76.
He did have that kind of appeal, yeah. He was near the top of my list, but I think Puri Puri Prisoner is right up there too, right? Just because of how ridiculous the character is.
Yeah.
And the way he looks is hilarious. You know, the way he fights, he does the angel dash, and like angel style is very flair, you know.
I was a little confused by him, because why is he still an S-class hero if he's been in jail and broke out of jail?
Because, I mean, I think he's based on the power, like his power level, and the fact that he's a good person, but he can't resist good-looking men. And so, you know, that's why he gets put into jail.
Because of, like, rape or sexual harassment?
I mean, it's not really implied rape. It's implied sexual harassment.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But,
and mostly to other heroes.
Like, yeah, mostly to other heroes.
He really likes heroes. And keeps his eyes
that was
on
a little
him.
Weird for me.
I just thought he was ridiculous. Like, the way...
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
His angel style and like ripping the shirt, the
I like the biker. The biker.
Oh,
cool.
Human Rider. So yeah. I actually think he's the most heroic guy in the whole show.
Oh,
my
yeah.
brother and I argued about it. My brother said he thought it was Genos, but I think Genos still has powers at the end of the day, and so
yeah.
there's a lot less that can hurt him versus what can hurt the Cyclist for Justice.
Well, because, like, look at what happens to Genos in the fight with the Crab King, yeah. the Sea King, right? Yeah. I mean, he essentially gets melted down to nothing, yeah. right?
Because he takes a shot, and, like, this little girl is about yeah. to get acid spit on her, and he dives
And he's a great hero, so I don't want to take anything away from that, but... He survived that. He had his arms ripped off, and he got new ones. And,
if Mumin Rider had done that, it would have been a very different story. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that you're right, because Rider knows, like, this is it. Like, I'm dying, but maybe I can hold out long enough for somebody else to get here and protect the people. That's a big deal.
That's a hero. So,
So I definitely agree.
And that's a deep... even though that scene was kind of a joke, that is a deep theme for the character. Like, that's, you know, I do like those
Self-sacrifice is huge.
Yeah.
The scene had some levity to it, and it was tongue-in-cheek, but it was still an important scene.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of showed why the good heroes are there versus why more of the selfish heroes are there.
Right.
Right. Some wanted the fame. Some want the fan letters and stuff. Others, like Ryder, just want to help people.
Well, and Saitama did at the end of that fight go, good thing these guys all weakened it for me so I could beat it with just one punch, you know, and just, you know.
He was a little mad, I think.
He was mad, but I mean, I feel like he did give at least a little credit to the other heroes that were there, even though there was probably some sarcasm in there. He was just, you know, I don't know. I like to think that, you know, he doesn't care that much about rising through the ranks, obviously, because he's a B-class, I think, at the end.
Well, but before the Boros fight, he is. I'm curious after.
Yeah.
Does he get credit for that or not?
I mean, nobody saw it happen. So
that's the problem.
So, favorite villain? And you can answer these too, Rachel, if you have any input.
Yeah, the favorite villain? Well,
for the first couple episodes that I watched, probably Mosquito Girl. Yeah, she was pretty cool. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, either Mosquito Girl, Boros, and the Sea King are the top three. I'm not sure what order they're in.
Yeah.
But they were definitely the most interesting and fun to watch. Because the rest, I feel like, just showed up and left too quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
So...
But, I mean, you got, like, the car guy, you know, and then you got some of them that were, like, quick, but they made a big impression because they were hilarious, you know?
There were some
like, the beast people, the guys that, like, he's like, you haven't met the beast master, and he shows up with the eyes like, this guy? Is that what you're talking about?
The House of Evolution, yeah, guys. House of Evolution, yeah. That was a fun scene, you know, but it was hard to kind of keep, you know who was who because they were around so short.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, he defeated, like, six characters in 3 minutes, you know, so they... They were cool designs. I mean, the artists did a great job. You know, they just weren't around very long, so.
I think my favorite sequence in the whole series was when they're in the, like, arena or whatever. Genos is fighting Deep Sea King. And there's one part where it's like a video game almost, where it, like, cuts around and it shows him, like, going in a big circle and coming around and hitting the Deep Sea King. But just the way the art was done, or the way it was animated in that one scene, was very different than a lot of the other... In the series, and I thought it was really cool.
When he used his remaining arm to like
boost
forward and do the kick thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Was
there any scenes like that stood out for you?
Man, that's a good point. There were some cool scenes. I liked, this one wasn't any of the good guys, I guess, but I liked when Sonic basically was beheading all those guys in that little like valley area or whatever. I thought that scene was really done really well because, I mean, he's straight up beheading like 3 dozen people, but they did it in such a way that it was actually kind of funny,
right?
Which is a weird thing to say. The sentence I would never thought I would say. So I thought the way they handled that was pretty cool.
I know you love the animated crotch jiggle when he gets punched in.
That was pretty funny because like hilarious. He felt really bad, like it was an accident, you know. But that was pretty funny. I think I just liked that the animation changed, that it suited the tone of whatever was happening,
right?
So, like, there were some of the shots where, you know, Saitama is, like really powered up and, like, ready to do something crazy. And he's, like, totally cut and it's really detailed.
Yeah.
Like, those are some really well done shots.
Yeah, I love those. Like, I want to, at the next convention we go to, I'm going to get some commissions done of serious Saitama. Because I thought, I love the way, even though that they're making fun of that.
Can we get you, like, a moods of Saitama?
I'd be okay with that, yeah. Happy, sad, angry. Yeah, I'd be good with that.
Because, I mean, there's just so many different versions of him. And you know, everybody else kind of gets some slight variations. But Saitama, obviously, gets the most.
Yeah.
So.
What do you want to see in season 2 when that comes out?
I want to know what the deal was with, was it Metal Knight? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah. My mask is like, watch out. Was it him that said that? Watch out for that guy or something like that to Gino?
It was the guy who had like a robot helmet. shoot, drawing a blank on his name now because he wasn't in a lot of it. But
Genos was warned about Metal Knight.
Yeah, that's what Derek's talking about.
Right. So I'm very curious what that was all about. I would really like to know. Drive Knight. Who warned him was Drive Knight, and I'd like to know what that was about. I have a theory that maybe that has to do with the cyborg that Genos was originally hunting for in the very beginning. Because
they didn't really do anything with that. Yeah. I mean, they started to, but then the other story took over. So
I would think it's that. I want to see Saitama ranked number one in S-Class and just not care. Yeah. Right? And have all the other S-Class people mad at him for, like, being ranked one. But, like, he doesn't really care that he's ranked one, but they all do. I'd like to see some more team-up stuff.
Yeah. You know? That was definitely the best part for me when they all teamed up at the end.
I think probably my favorite little sequence is probably when he's on the moon.
Oh, yeah, and he's, like, looking around, and he throws the rock at him.
Yeah, he's like, huh. Yeah. He's holding his breath the whole time. And then he dies back to Earth. Yeah, that was really cool.
It was cool, yeah. That was a really cool scene. I think what I'm looking forward to in Season 2 is maybe that the thing that happened with Boros was not what the chick was predicting.
Ooh.
And maybe there's something even bigger.
I like that.
They need a new threat level, you know, to go beyond whatever happened. I don't know.
Saitama level.
Yeah. Maybe he'll do like super serious punch or something, you know, or consecutive serious punches.
There you go.
So, yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to mostly. And like you said, more team ups. And I hope they keep the same animation team on because what they did was brilliant, I thought. It was just really, as much as I talk about visuals and movies and stuff, it was very good.
Which is an important part of the medium.
Visual medium. No, I think that the animation was awesome. It was really fun. I would like to see some more world building, you know?
Yeah.
Because like it's supposed to be...
World building is great. It really is.
Well, because there's some shots like when he's on the moon and they look back at Earth and you can see it. I mean, that's not a continent we actually have.
Right.
So I'm curious what that Earth is supposed to be like. You know, is it one giant continent and it's just these 26 cities, A through Z? Or is it just one country and there's other countries? Like, right. I'm very curious what that's all like. So
you want a lot of world building here.
If there's other countries and stuff, do they get these giant monster creatures too?
Do they also have heroes?
Right, yeah. Kind of the conversations we've had about like Hunger Games and Pan Am, right? Like what's happening in Asia and Africa and Europe in that world. So
that's a cool thought. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
All right, so that's probably it.
Doc Rev hopes that Jack Black voices somebody in season 2.
Oh, I do want to ask.
To get that joke, you'll have to watch last week's episode.
This is the biggest debate on the internet. Who wins in a fight? Superman, Goku, or Saitama?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
So
I know the most about Superman.
I'm going to ding my nerd cred here a little bit. I don't know enough about Goku.
Okay, Superman or Saitama?
Well... At this
quick answer, Derek. We're at the end of our time.
No, I mean, I think as far as like strength goes, they're probably matched. Is probably what I would say there. They can both be in space, but sometimes Superman can't breathe either, just like Saitama can't. So
it
I think it would
on
just
who's writing him.
So it's like Thor versus Superman. It's like you know,
it kind of just
who you're.
Yeah, it depends which version it is and what the scenario is. I think it could go either way.
You should post that on the internet and see how many angry responses you get.
Right.
Well, our YouTube video will look like child's play.
Well, because here's the thing. So Saitama had to breathe, right? And so if Superman doesn't have to in this version and can get him far enough away from a breathable planet, then Saitama could suffocate.
Right, but if Saitama's superpower is that he can beat anybody.
Is that what his power is?
I mean, we don't know.
He can punch anybody hard enough, but...
So he can't punch Superman because he's not
fast
enough.
I didn't say he can't, but But Saitama was punched into outer space once. No reason Superman can't do the same type of thing.
There's, you know, however many years of Superman canon and there's like a manga. Yeah. Well, so yeah, there's not, you don't really get any feats.
My question would be like if Boros had punched Saitama into space and the moon wasn't where it was, how far would Saitama have gone and would he have survived that?
Yeah.
Would have been my question.
I don't really see.
Right. So I don't know.
So that's the end of our time, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be it for us.
Do you have a thing?
Oh, Ryan's got a thing.
I do have a thing. If you don't give us money already, you should definitely do that. We have a Patreon where you can do that easiest, but I can give you my personal PayPal too if that works. Anyway, our Patreon is patreon.com/heroespodcast. And in honor of our One Punch Man podcast, there is a One Punch Man hero generator out there where you type in your name gives you a hero. And I did one for the three of us.
Wow.
Yes.
I also did it for our other hosts.
Ooh.
And I think for our Patreon thing, there will be some piece of art accompanying these. Maybe it could be as simple as a Google search for the hero name and the funniest thing that comes up. Or maybe we'll have an artist draw. We don't know. Because right. I just dropped this on Derek. Anyway. Okay, so mine was Masked Heretic. I'm a Class C hero.
Aww.
My power is telekinesis.
Ooh.
My secret ability is that I come from a rich family, apparently. My weakness is that I can't swim. So I'm basically Bruce Willis from Unbreakable. Rachel, her hero is Wolf Angel. And I did not, this is just what, I typed my name in twice to see if it gave me the same hero, and it did. So this is
what
legit.
It is.
This is what it is. Wolf Angel, you're ranked B. Your power is weapon mastery. Your secret ability is breakdancing.
Yes.
And your weakness is that you're a drama queen. I did not write this, okay? This was from a random website.
Okay. Only on the internet.
And Derek, I'm sorry. Delinquent Queen is your hero name. You're a B-rank hero. You have the power of weather control.
I'm good with
nice.
That.
Your secret ability is juggling. And your weakness is that you're a coward.
Makes you a good hero.
Yeah, really great hero. So John, from Gamer Heroes, his hero name is Dangerous King.
Okay.
He's also ranked B. His power is that he's a summoner.
Ooh.
His secret ability is that he has many followers on social media. Which is actually untrue. I run the social media page for Buster Props.
John has a total of 10 friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His weakness is that he has no friends. I didn't write this, John. Don't get mad at me.
I feel like this algorithm has some inconsistencies.
Yeah. Many followers on social media, but no friends. That's a very sad life. And Ian, who's the co-host on Costume Couture.
Yes.
His hero name is Darkness Rider.
He'd love that.
His rank is C, so me and him are the weakest of all of us, apparently. His power is intelligence.
Aww.
I'm just kidding, Ian. Secret ability, he can wink with either eye, which apparently is a secret ability, and I didn't know that.
I can't do that.
His weakness is that he thinks he's cool and edgy, but he isn't. So we'll come up with something that we'll send out with our Patreon thank you email or maybe we'll unveil them in the video.
Yeah.
We'll do something.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll do something.
Yeah.
Cool. Give us money.
Yeah, check us out.
Patreon.com/heroespodcast.
Next week, we are going to be doing our spoiler cast for Wonder Woman. So please go see Wonder Woman in theaters this weekend.
Absolutely. Talk with us.
And we will talk it out. You can join us live on Twitch at twitch.tv/heroespodcast Tuesday nights. At 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central.
Yes.
Don't forget to check out our other two shows, Costume Couture every Monday and Gamer Heroes on Fridays. What else? Anything else, guys? I think that's it.
No. Let's go.
That is it. Hit us up at heroespodcast.com and at heroespodcast on all the social medias. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye, everybody.